Blog Talk Radio.
In the days of the Old West, cowboys lived by an unspoken code. The code of the West. Never try on another man's hat. Always remove your firearms at the table. Talk less, say more. Always do what has to be done. Some rules were easier to live by than others, and for some, one was just downright impossible to abide.
I got a name for that thing down there. It's called the mind.
Never covet another man's horse. Built with honor, forged with pride, guts, glory, Ram.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we are going to be discussing healing the wounds of childhood with Dr. Don St. John. Before we begin, I want to say thank you to everyone for supporting my show, and I want to especially thank the ONE Dynasty family for all of their support, as well as the support I received from Dr. O. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my point of view. I want to also take a moment to mention again what my show is all about. Breaking the Silence is all about healing and creating a sacred space for men and women. Today, again, we're making focus on healing the wounds of childhood. I like to begin with a quote by an unknown author. It isn't about what's wrong with you. It's about what happened to you. Before my guest comes on, I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Don St. John, PhD, is a somatic relational psychotherapist, workshop leader, and author of the award-winning book, Healing the Wounds of Childhood, and his latest book, Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture, An Adventure of a Lifetime. He is an authorized continuum teacher and Heller worker, structural integration practitioner, and trainer. He has taught and given presentations in the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, and Brazil. Don brings two general qualifications to authorship of healing in the wounds of childhood. The first and perhaps the most important is that he has traveled the territory he describes, and he has accomplished an arguably miraculous level of personal change in one lifetime. As a psychotherapist, he works in a style that requires deep empathy and attunement with his patients. It is a level of emotional presence that he could not have understood or imagined when he began his healing journey. As a continuum teacher, he teaches fluid movement. Again, this would have been unimaginable to him 3 decades ago. Thus, he has clearly walked what he talks. His second general qualification is that he has been immersed in both the psychotherapeutic and somatic therapy worlds in the past 55 years. His roots are in traditional psychology, but early on, he realized from his own experience that the body must be included. Thus, he began his journey into both psychotherapeutic and somatic realms. Dr. St. John studied Gestalt Therapy at LA Gestalt Therapy Institute and Neil Rickman Therapy at Drs. Alan Darbone and Jack Lee Rosenberg, the Psychology of Self and Voice Dialogue Method with Dr. Howe and Cedra Stone, Homoki with Dr. Ron Kutz, Coercion Therapy with Dr. Bruce Ecker, and AEP with Dr. Diane Fascia, and CMS with Dr. Albert Sheldon and Beatrice Bustanley. He has taken immersion courses and core training in Sue Johnson's Emotionally Focused Couples Therapy. He is certified in Somatic Experiencing and the work of Dr. Peter Levine. He has also studied cranial sacral therapy for 28 years and has been studying, practicing, continuing, developing Emaine, Emily Conrad, and Sooner Harper. Hello, Dr. St. John. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me, Mo?
Yes, I can.
Oh,
thank
good.
You so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited to be here. Looking forward to our conversation.
Well, you're an interesting man. I told you on our conversation when we spoke that I did order your book. Oh my gosh. In your book, you mentioned three insights that shook your intellectual roots. And the first of which, you said, all of us suffered whether we know it or not, and all of us have ample room to grow. Second, our whole organism is affected by our life's wounds. And third, physical health, mental health, and relationship quality are entwined. Can you expound on this for our listening audience?
Yes, I can. Sure. The first one that, regardless of the quality of your childhood, of your home life in childhood, no one escapes a certain level of woundedness. Now, mm-hmm. I talk about four categories when I teach. So the most serious is what we call big T, capital T, traumas. And they are events that overwhelm the nervous system. For example, being mugged, being raped, being in a war zone and seeing your buddies get killed. Major events that in and of themselves can have an overwhelming effect on your life. The next
right.
level, much more common, is what I call little t traumas, and they are the garden variety. You know, dad was an alcoholic, mom and dad fought all the time, parents got divorced when I was 6 years old after fighting for the first, you know, 6 years of my life. You know, things like that that also have a traumatic effect. Now, in those two categories, we probably have 85-90% of the population. Then the next level down is what I call life-negating messages. So, for example, if one's family environment was very positive, you know, no major conflicts, no major criticisms, you know, but there was an attitude that, you know, we don't have sex in this house. You know, we had sex three times and we have three children. That's it. And or for example, you never get to assert an opinion that's different than the family's opinion. Okay, so messages like that are often can be wounding. And the last is just simple ignorance, just not recognizing that, for example, children need a lot of structure. They need a lot of nurturing, things like that. So here's what's important about that, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they've had significant wounds in their childhood, feel as if they're alone in their suffering. And when I realized that, wait a minute, I'm far from alone.
Right.
We all have these challenges. We all have issues. It comes with being on this earth at this time, you know? And that particular insight relieved a certain level of feeling isolated, feeling alone, feeling different than everyone else. And that was quite a huge, huge influence, impact. It really kind of changed my perspective. I was able to lighten up, you know. I said, okay,
right.
Yeah, I got work to do. the second was that, I believe you said, the second was the body is also affected. When I went to graduate school, we didn't talk about the body. Now, this is back
really?
In 1967, 68, 69, 70. It was all the psyche. It was as if the psyche existed in some mythical space independent of the body. And when I realized that all those wounds that I just talked about, from the smaller ones to the big ones, in some way or other affect the body as well. And for full healing to take place, the body has to be addressed. It's fluidity, it's vitality, it's connection, that sense that, you know, if you watch a little baby crawl around, everything moves. Every part of their body is engaged, you know. And
right.
over time, we tend to become like more and more rigid. So that was the second insight. And, you know, from that moment, I made sure I was addressing my body. And now, 40-something years later, I'm teaching fluid movement. My wife and I, both 80 years old, teaching fluid movement to a group of 40-year-olds. it's amusing, isn't it, to think about. You know, I get down on the floor. My model is an octopus. Think of how an octopus moves so fluidly, flowing through water, you know. That's the model.
That is amazing. That is totally amazing.
Uh-huh.
You were going to talk about the third one? Was that the third model, or was that the third one I mentioned?
No, that was the second.
Okay.
The third one was that mental health, relational health, physical health are all very much related to each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go on the campus, the psychology department and the physical education department are on the other side of the campus, and, you know, never the twain shall meet. Again, in graduate school, we learn nothing about the relationship between the quality of our upbringing and the quality of our health in later life.
Hmm. Wow. Well,
and
I want
you
to hold on to
that. It's important to know.
It is. I want you to hold on to that thought. We have a track next by international internet DJ legend Dr. Ngozi.
You've given me a true love, and every day I thank you, love, for a feeling that's so new, so inviting, so exciting. Whenever you're near, I hear a symphony, a tender melody, pulling me closer, closer to your arms. Then suddenly, ooh, your lips are touching mine, the feeling so divine, till I leave the past behind. I'm lost in a world made for you and me.
Product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, and we are discussing healing the wounds of childhood with Dr. Don St. John tonight, and he made some very interesting points. We were discussing the fact that your physical, mental, and relationship quality are all intertwined. Dr. St. John, I did mention to you when we spoke briefly on the phone that I'm a retired nurse and also a massage therapist. And basically what I've encountered is that energy is in all cells, right? ATP is in all the cells. They call it chi. But
correct.
It also creates a memory, right? So people have memories based upon, they can be pleasant memories, unpleasant memories. And I've worked with people who have had a reaction in massage, be it pleasant or unpleasant. Sometimes people are broken down in tears just based upon me touching them in a therapeutic manner. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Is that another example of how your body can hold on to certain things?
Oh, for sure. Well, think about it, Mo. Let's say you have an experience that's very, very sad. It makes you so sad that you're about ready to sob. But a little voice in your head says, you're not supposed to do that. You're a man. Okay, how do you stop that? How do you prevent that from happening?
I said they would say, I guess in layman's terms, they would just kind of say, suck it up, right?
Yeah.
And you try
to. But that's literally what happens. You tighten up. You don't allow the movement, the expression, which is movement, right? Your chest heaves, you know, your jaw opens and closes and tears. You know, you prevent all that from happening by tightening your muscles.
Right.
Okay? And now imagine that happens 12 times a month, starting when you're 3 years old.
Wow.
Pretty soon, those muscles have taken that shape. They've tightened. Their health preventing a particular type of expression. And for some people, it can be, you know, the expression of assertion. Some people have a hard time asserting themselves in a strong manner. Some people have a hard time with tender feelings. You know, the range of possible expressions that can be shut down to one degree or other, not necessarily completely, but to a degree. So, you know, then you come along as a massage therapist and you start loosening those muscles, and that person remembers when they started closing them down, and they release
do.
It. And that does happen, yeah.
Yeah, they actually do. I've had a couple of people just literally break down in tears and say, that's the first time that, or I remembered that my mother used to rub my back and it used to feel so good and I really miss her. I've had that comment where they've shared that kind of a memory.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be in that space to help somebody remember something that was soothing. You know? In your book, you also mentioned, we have a caller in the queue. I was about to ask a question, but we have a caller in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, Mo. It's Jerry Petito calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Jerry. How are you tonight?
I'm really good. How are you?
Doing very well.
So I love this topic. Your guest sounds amazing. I want to say hello to your guest. Hello, sir.
Hi. Hi, Jerry. Is that correct?
Yes. So, all right. I have a crazy question for you. So I'm a nutritional health coach. I'm also a recovery coach. I'm also an author. I wrote a book on recovery. And I also help a lot of families that are dealing with addiction or health issues, right? But I have a crazy question for you. So,
okay.
It seems like anymore everyone has issues, okay? Have you come across, well, I don't even want to say it that way. What's your definition of normal, a normal person, living a normal lifestyle, if you could even answer that?
First of all, Jerry, that's not even close to a crazy question. I don't know if there is such a thing as a crazy question. Because, you know, my experience is if one person has a question, he or she is asking for 100 other people who may have that very same question. And your question is a particularly good question. Because I don't believe there is such a thing as, you know, a normal person. And I don't believe that normal is what we should strive for. I think that's part of the problem. Now, if you look at the statistics, you know, if you look at, you know, first of all, normal is a statistical concept. It refers to the average, you know, and the average, let's take our country. The percentage of people who come down with chronic diseases, the percentage of people who are struggling with addictions or anxiety or depression, that all of that is part of the statistical normal. I think we should strive towards wholeness, the fullness of our being, the development of our potential, the letting go of things that don't serve us, the development of things that would serve us, okay? And I think that would represent a fundamental shift. See, my thought, Jerry, is that people don't have a good idea about why they're here. You know, if you just read the newspapers, watch the movies, you think we're here just to accumulate toys. You know, we measure the health of our country financially, but we don't talk about the quality of life, the quality of health, the amount of peace in people's hearts, the depth of their relationship. You know, the satisfaction in their marriages. So I'm suggesting a fundamental shift in how we understand what it means to be a human being. And I say this out of my own experience because, you know, I grew up outside of New York City. My family from Italy and New York City. I was a street punk.
Yes, mine too. My family as well. New York, yes.
Well, we're paisans then, right?
There you go.
There you go. And, you know, I was a wreck. You know, I had 3 marriages and 3 divorces in the first 15 years of my adult life. You know, I had serious headaches. I had no sense that I had a body under my neck. I drink a lot, fight a lot. I mean, I was literally a wreck. And I started on this trail some almost 60 years ago. I've been on it ever since. And, you know, I want to just keep going. I've been married to the same woman now for 38 years. We're 80 years old. We're both vital. As I said to Mo, we teach fluid movement. We teach, you know, young people how to move like an octopus.
Wow.
The best example I can give to try and explain something that, you know, is so visual that you have to see it to understand what I'm talking about. But think of an octopus And that's the best way that I can convey it in words. But at any rate, at 80 years old and eager to continue to grow, because we believe that's what we're here to do. We're not here to be normal. We're not here just to, not have any symptoms.
Wow.
How's that?
Thank you so much. Well, listen, that was amazing. I got to tell you, your answer and how you described everything and your age is blowing my mind.
Well, it's all in my book, You can get it from Amazon, and I talk about the various disciplines and how to find them, and my website will give you that information as well. Here's the thing I want people to know. The resources are out there. They're out there. You do have to search a little bit, and you do have to be willing to try new things. You have to be willing to step outside the box and not rely solely on your doctor to guide your health and well-being. You have to search a little bit outside the box. It's out there. The internet makes it all readily available. And, no matter where you are, no matter where you're starting, things can get better. You can feel more whole, more complete, more human, more alive.
Thank you so much for that response.
Can I say one more thing to him?
You're welcome.
Can I say one more thing to him, Mo? Okay.
Sure.
So I cured myself over 30 years ago naturally of cancers. I do everything as natural as possible. I haven't taken a medication in over 30 years. But you are the only person, and I'm going to say this because this is how I feel about this, you are the only Italian, 80-year-old Italian that I have ever talked to that has ever said what you've said. Every single older Italian would say, suck it up, knock it off, and just stop. I thought you were a lot younger, and I am even more impressed with you. Mo, message me his info. I am buying his book.
Absolutely. I'm still reading it.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Thank you so
it.
Much. Amazing, amazing. Thank you, Mo. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jerry, for calling
in. Welcome.
Do you want to tell us a little bit? Do you want to share when your next show is?
Oh, yes, actually. It's the 14th of this month, of course, 9:30. And my guest is Donnie Most from Happy Days, Ralph Mouth, everybody. So tune in.
Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
Jerry. We have a track next by international internet DJ legend, Dr. Ngozi.
Oh,
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We're on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. I'd like to mention that we have some great music tonight with R&B vocalist The Supremes, provided by Dr. O. And now we're back to Dr. St. John. Doctor, thank you so much for such a thorough answer. I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit. That was a wonderful answer you gave to Jerry. I was reading further along in your book, and you mentioned avoidant attachments, insecure, preoccupied attachments, and disorganized attachments. How do our childhood wounds create our attachment style?
Okay, that's a good question, Mo. One of the first things we do, one of the first tasks, if you will, I'm using that word rather loosely, tasks, that an infant has is to bond with parents. Typically, it's mother and then father, but the bonding, the sense of attachment to the parents is a primary task of childhood. And what that depends upon is the parents' ability to recognize the need that the child is expressing and respond to that need in a timely way. So to give a very simple example, if the infant is needing contact just to be held by mom or dad, and the parent characteristically misreads that and just puts a bottle in their mouth, thinking that they're hungry, here's a bottle, the child is learning that his, her needs don't get met easily. And there are various styles, and I think the model, as it's typically presented with the preoccupied and the avoidant and the disorganized, I think it's a little simplistic, but here's what's important. And here's where it shows up in our life. It's when we are attempting to have, you know, an intimate relationship, a partner, a marriage partner, okay? And there's distress. There's kind of a chronic distress in the relationship. What I typically find is that the couple hasn't been able to reach a level of intimacy. They don't feel safe enough to honestly and deeply reveal themselves, speak from their heart and soul to the other, without their protective gear, you know, their armor, their suits.
Right.
Blocked that. Okay? And that comes from not having a secure relationship with one or both parents. How do you know how secure the relationship is? Well, pretty simple. If you are able to go to your parents and share with them what's really going on in your heart, you know, to tell them the truth of your heart. I got bullied in school. I'm afraid to go back. I got so angry. I wanted to hit him with a stick. You know, I need help. I'm not sure what, you know what I mean? To share that level, that depth. If you can do that, You know, if you were able to do that with one or both parents, that's a real secure relationship there. If you can't, if you were never able to, if you have never felt comfortable doing that, then there's some level of insecurity. You know, and it could come also from ignorance. That's not what we do here. We don't talk about feelings, or we don't confide deeply with each other. We keep it functional and on the surface.
Right.
Do you see? And then it plays
yeah.
out in our adult
yeah.
relationships. And often if we don't get help, you know, it doesn't work. Or we just become comfortable with the discomfort, with the distress, and live parallel lives. That's one way of doing it. Or we can merge and live as if we are one individual instead of two. That's another way that insecurity in a relationship gets expressed.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So there is hope for childhood wounds to heal. It's just going to take time, and you have to develop that form of intimacy with the other person, correct?
Okay, you said two things. First of all, there's more than hope. I think I'm
okay.
a living example of, you know, if that punk kid from Portchester, New York, you know, who'd spend his summer evening sitting on a mailbox with a cigarette dangling out of his mouth. You know, if that kid could do it, I think just about anybody could do it. So there's definitely hope. And relationship is for sure one of the ways, one of the things that's absolutely necessary. Now, the tricky part here is if one is really insecure in their very first relationships, it's hard to affect a good relationship as an adult. So you need a good relationship, but it's hard to have a good relationship, which
right.
is why psychotherapy can be very, very helpful to learn how to have a good relationship. Okay. But you also have to address your body through various mm-hmm. forms of body work and movement work and spiritually, too. We're spiritual beings, and it's important to have some sense of what's beyond the material, our material existence.
Right. We're going to ask you to hold that thought. We have a track next by international internet DJ legend, Dr. Ngozi.
I find it hard for
This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, we have caller 2 in queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, this is Tara Strength, Mo.
Hi, Tara. How are you?
I'm doing great. Okay, I'm doing great. This guy, first of all, shout out to your honored guest. He's outstanding. And listen, he's speaking my language. You know, Mo, I talk about this stuff all the time, you know, mm-hmm. about us moving towards. I just can't believe I'm hearing somebody say it like this. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't believe it. All I talk about, but an outstanding show. I want to ask him another question about the attachment issue, because I recently had an experience with it. And what do you recommend? What is the best modality to use to help deal with that anxious attachment or whatever? It's my first time, you know, running into somebody that had that. What is your advice for dealing with that?
Well, are you with a partner? Are you in a relationship?
No, not anymore, no.
Okay. You know, one of the questions that I suggest to people, I got a call this morning from someone in my community telling me about the trouble he's having in his marriage, and, you know, he and his wife are just not getting along. And then, as is typical, the person begins to tell me the reasons why it's the other person's fault. So he starts
right.
telling me his wife is this, his wife is doing that, she's criticizing him, she's complaining. And I said to him, and it's a question that I, you know, suggest people reflect upon, you know, not beat themselves up with, but just look at. And it's this, please tell me your name again. I want to make sure I say it correctly.
My name is Terrace.
Terrace, okay. Terrace, the question
yep.
is, how do you contribute to what you're receiving from the other person? Okay. Because when I get a couple together, I help them see how each of them is contributing to getting what they're receiving from the other person. And it's not either of their fault. They're always afraid that the therapist is going to say, you know, it's your fault. And it's not. It's a co-created dance. They're choreographing the dance together. And what I would suggest to you is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like a relationship loop of doom that I've heard it be called.
Yeah, and to turn it around, to make it a relationship loop of joy, you know, of closeness. But if you're single, are you, like, dating, looking for a partner?
No, not right now. I was in a relationship, and, you know, I was just experiencing things that I had never seen before, and I didn't understand. I actually didn't find out what it was until after I ended the relationship. And I actually was
mm-hmm.
looking at, I was doing a lot of work on myself, as I do when I end relationships, and that's when I found out what it was. So, of course, because, and I know it has a lot to do with abandonment issues, so, of course, that sent me back to counseling myself, because obviously I have some abandonment stuff that I need to work on. But I had never even heard of or understood, you know, the whole attachment thing, you know, disorganized, anxious, and
right,
things like that.
Right,
so I
right.
saw it.
Well,
I was watching a video. Go ahead.
Well, first I want to acknowledge you for working on yourself when you come out of a relationship and learning new things. And I think that's so important, and that you're engaging that. Man, that puts you ahead of the game, right? Not everybody does that. So,
thank you for that. That means a lot from you. That does.
Really. And second, you know, don't be afraid of it. And don't think of it as a failure if it doesn't work out. You're learning something very deep and new. You know, to be secure in a relationship so that you feel comfortable telling the truth.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was funny because I was learning about the traits of it, and we had broken up over all of them. Like, it was like, wow, like, what is this? I was like, it was like I saw the whole relationship.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was textbook. It was literally textbook. Literally. And I was like,
this.
And so it has really opened up my eyes to a different way of looking at, you know, a lot of the challenges that we have out there that are an impediment to us moving towards wholeness. You know, these relationships, you know, this is where we learn and figure out and evolve. So I just want to thank you for Mo bringing you on and talking about this stuff, because I kind of talk about it all the time and everything.
That's great. You know, and just know that you can do it better and better with time, as long as you're willing to learn like you are. You know, you've got that.
Yeah.
So that's the key ingredient. It's a willingness to learn and to grow and to change. Beautiful.
Yes.
I commend you.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. Outstanding. You got to bring this guy back. You know what I mean?
I definitely am going to have him back. Definitely, definitely, definitely. We have a track next by international internet DJ legend, Dr. Ngozi.
Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. Thank you so much for that track, Dr. O, with the Supremes. Dr. St. John, you mentioned before Terrace and you started having the conversation that spiritual practices were really important. Can you expand on that a little bit about why spirituality is so important?
You know, I think it's as much a part of being human as sexuality is.
Mm-hmm.
If we think of, let me see, how best to say this. We come onto this earth and we have to relate to the earth and to material reality. And that includes relationships and closeness and, you know, having a place in the world. But there's also a kind of link to the transcendent. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I can talk about this topic on your show or not. So I'm going to ask you, psychedelics, is that off-limits? Or
no, that's not off-limits. That's actually going to be my next question.
Okay.
Actually.
Well, you know, for me, I grew up Catholic, of course, you know, New York, Italian, Catholic. And then it just didn't make any sense to me anymore by the time I was 21, 22. And slowly, gradually went from there to agnosticism, to atheism. And then in graduate school in 1968, I don't know if you know anything about that time in our country, Mo. I don't know how old you are. But 1968 was, well, you know, you were very young back then.
Yes, I was.
It was a crazy, crazy year, you know. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Robert Kennedy was assassinated. There were riots. And on campus, I was at the University of Kansas in graduate school, and, you know, the anti-war protests all over the place. And I experimented for the first time with, I was 25 years old, I guess. And I experimented for the first time with marijuana and then LSD. And when I took LSD, all of a sudden, I wasn't an atheist anymore. It was like, there's something. I don't know what it is, but there's something beyond what my senses can apprehend.
Right.
There's some mystical, there's some divine intelligence. There's something more than what I can feel with my hands and see with my eyes or with instruments, you know. There's just
right.
something more. And that began a quest. That began a quest that, you know, has been going on to this day. And
wow.
I've been a member for the last 28 years of a church that uses ayahuasca as its sacrament.
Wow.
And 28 years. And the church is completely legal in the United States. In 2006, we won a unanimous Supreme Court decision that allowed us to practice, to use our sacrament in our practice. And, you know, it's been part of our life here in my home for all this time. And You know, it's another tool to open the heart, to help see clearly the kinds of things that get in the way of our evolution, that get in the way of our development. No?
Right. So this is the Ayahuasca Christian Church. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. I want to bring on Brother O at this time. Brother, Dr. O, are you available?
Yes, indeed. First of all, Dr. St. John, you know, love you and what you're saying tonight. And we're talking about, you know, a lot of times a childhood trauma. And one of the biggest things that really intrigued me, being born in the year 70, is the lottery draft.
Mm-hmm.
And to see young people, the lottery draft of Vietnam War, you know, the first time since 1942 lottery was used, you know, to, you know, bring forth, enlistment. And the horror of kids having to go to the TV to see, you know, when their birth date was to be drafted in the Vietnam War. To me, you know, historically and, you know, really, really sentimentally, it always moves me. And a story that came from my cousin, who lived in West Philadelphia at that time of the 1969 lottery draft. He didn't get picked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, my auntie and my uncle and the brother and sister was happy about that. But right next door was a kid, and his name was Justin, and he screamed and hollered, "No, no, no. I got to go, no." Because his, you know, his birth date was chosen in front of the international audience around, you know, America and the world. And Justin died in 1971 in Vietnam. It's almost like he knew in his spirit that he was going to meet his inevitable fate. The draft lottery, to me, was, you know, the greatest injustice, you know, in our lives. You know, when a child is innocent and don't want to go to war. And you talked about being at the University of Kansas, you know, at, you know, and Lawrence, that's correct, Lawrence, Kansas?
Yes, Lawrence, Kansas.
All right, all right.
That's
and,
where
of course, that's it. And, you know, being a graduate student, if you were not in college at that time, and a lot of people don't know this, Mo Garman, that if you fail your courses in college during that time, you were immediately put into the draft lottery.
Wow.
So if you didn't keep your grades up, you went to Vietnam. I said what I said.
Well, I had already put in 4 years in the U.S. Air Force. Before then, I got out of the Air Force in 1965, 1 month before President Johnson doubled the number of troops in Vietnam.
Wow. You were not meant to be there.
Yeah. No, I was not meant to be there.
You were meant
let's
to
talk
be
about
here
this as well. Let's talk about this as well. In the city of Philadelphia, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, United States of America, for all international listeners tonight, let me just school you on one school. You know, that was a paraphrase of the thoughts and intellectual stimulation, right? Thomas Edison High School, Thomas A. Edison High School in Philadelphia, had the most deaths from the Vietnam War than any high school in America.
Wow.
Why?
Mm.
Thomas Edison High School had the most scholastic winners of any high school in Pennsylvania at that time in 1964. It was the original Northeast High School. Sonny Hill, if you listen to Sonny Hill, his show in Philadelphia, WIP, he was a graduate of the original Northeast High School. And
wow.
It became Thomas Edison in 1959. So that school has the most deaths of any high school in America. So
wow.
Disproportionate of,
what
you know,
do you attribute
black
that to, Dr. O?
Well, you know, I think it's the formula of, you know, disproportionate, you know, people dying in a plan of injustice. And, of course, the Vietnam War, we all know, was a phallus war that was giving, you know, given to us. And right now, thank you, Mo, for the time, because, you know, I do pay for it. Right now, what's happening in the Middle East and Israel, like Dr. Chinchilla Jay talks about all the time in the last 4 weeks, there's a chance, a chance of involvement, sending our young men to a war that's, again, part of infallacy. We must be able to educate our young and let them know if they are conscious, you know, conscientious and subjective to this, you know, outstanding situation going on. It happened in Ukraine, right? And now it's happening in Israel. You know, it's breeding grounds right now for a lot of kids who are scared. Understand that, you know, the greatness of how I've been as a broadcaster, you know, understanding news, looking to Walter Cronkite and Eric Severide and David Brinkley, right? And all the
you're going,
you know,
back
Peter
to
Jennings
my
and,
day now.
Yeah. Come on now. And the great John Facenda, who was here in Philadelphia, who was my mentor. May he rest in peace. The situations are, we cannot have our go around with our eyes open shut. You know, a lot of things are going on. We must grab our children, because that's trauma. And going back to the 1968, 69, and 70 draft lottery, with an easy voice with Eric Sarai coming on CBS and saying, this is the draft lottery brought to you by CBS. And
oh, my
God. Involving the
birth
date, it is involving the birth date of our youth to be a participant in the Vietnam War. How many families at that time, Mo, and Dr. St. John, trembled? Some got away with it, and some were not even picked. But some were picked in the first round of that lottery and were sent right to Southeast Asia at that time. I'm the good doctor. Back to Mo Garman.
Thanks for sharing that, Dr. O. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a difficult time. I was just a girl at that time, a little toddler at that point, but that was a difficult time. I've just looked at some of the pictures, and it's just really been traumatizing. Speaking of trauma, Dr. St. John, can you tell us the difference between wounding versus trauma?
Well, you know, the word trauma, Mo, means wounding.
Oh.
And I use wounding because, as I said, you know, there are things that don't, it's all a matter of definition. On one hand, you can say it's all the same, whether it's a wound, whether it's a scratch on your little finger or a fractured skull, they're both wounds. You know,
but
a lot of people would say that they had no trauma in their life.
Right.
They might find it a little easier to accept that there were wounds in their life.
Okay.
But essentially, I would say there's no difference. It's just a matter of kind and a matter of degree.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. We have a track.
And I think.
I'm sorry, we have a track.
Go ahead.
International Internet DJ legend, Dr. Ngozi.
is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. And we've been talking this hour with Dr. St. John about healing the wounds of childhood. Dr. St. John, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying before we took a break with the music?
Oh, what I was saying, you know, we were talking about the Vietnam War and what's happening in the Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza. And, you know, it just drives home the point. We need a fundamental shift in consciousness. We need to recognize that life is about relationship. It's about relationship to ourselves. It's about relationship to each other. It's about relationship to family, to community. You know, when the astronauts are coming back into the Earth's atmosphere and they see the Earth at a distance, they have a spiritual experience. They can see that these boundaries and distinctions and religions and, you know, that we create, that humans create and then go to war against is ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we can track its origins to a large degree. I'm not saying 100%, but to a large degree to trauma. You know?
Wow. Yeah. Well, we have to end this show, unfortunately, and I'd like to thank you for coming on tonight, and I'd like to hear your final thoughts as we close the show. Please include your contact information so that people can know how to contact you and the name and title of your book and where they can get your book.
Okay. Where are your listeners, Mo? Where am I
They're
speaking
global.
To?
They're global. Yes.
Around the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I think Amazon is the best place to get my book, probably the most global. My website is www.pathsofconnection.com, PathsofConnection, pathsofconnection.com. My book is titled Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture, An Adventure of a Lifetime. My email address, and please feel free to email me, is don@st-jon.com. And my final thoughts, Mo, are embark on the healing journey. It's indeed an adventure of a lifetime. And like any adventure, there are challenges, but the rewards are breathtaking.
Wow. We have a caller. The caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hey, Mo, how are you? It's Dr. Chinchilla Jay, Commissioner WVNN. How are you? And to your guest, Dr. Don, it is wonderful tonight to hear this show, and I really love it. And that's definitely a needed topic. And the title of your book is just awesome. I'm definitely going to take a look at that as well. And so many people do suffer still from childhood wounds and things they've never gotten over from their childhood. And some people have, like, suppressed those childhood memories that were very, I guess, damaging to their psyche. And they don't want to bring up those past thoughts or things that happened in the past to address them, to move forward. And that just really affects their current relationships and everything else in their current life period when they can't address those issues from the past. And some people just don't even realize that it's things from their childhood that is hindering their future. So this show is very awesome. And I just want to share with everybody, my show is News Forum. The next show is Sunday night. It comes in every Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. right here on WBNN. And this Sunday night, my guest will be David O., who is running for mayor in the city of Philadelphia. And so tune in to find out why you should vote for David O., everybody. I'll tell you all about why and why not to vote for the opponent, okay? We definitely need David O. as our 100th mayor in the city. He will be the one that will turn this city around. We don't want to see the city get any worse than it is. And if Sherelle Parker is elected, that's exactly what will happen. It will be worse than it is now. So we need David O. as our 100th mayor. Also, I have jobs. If anybody wants to work on Election Day, I have some jobs available. If you're interested, you need to give me a call. The pay is $140 cash, plus you get lunch. And then we are also looking for a couple more drivers. Drivers, you get $200 cash. That's right, cash. Okay, you don't have to worry about Uncle Sam because you're getting cash. All right, so hit me up, 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that's 844-642-8378, extension 888. Call me Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Yeah, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. or whatever. 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. I forgot my own hours. 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., everybody. Those are the hours. Or if you call me after hours, leave a message, and I'll get back to you. Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th, everybody. And tomorrow, those of you that are in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area and all that stuff, Virginia area, come on down to Freedom Plaza tomorrow, 2 p.m., at 2 p.m., there will be a rally and protest there at Freedom Walk, and it will be for the freedom of Palestine, all right, and to for the United States to cease fire on Palestine. All right, I'm Jay, and again, great show, Mo, and great music, Dr. O.
Thanks for calling in, Chinchilla. We have a final caller in queue. We have caller 4 in queue. Can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Bulls Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your aunt got a new wig and she queued at the party where they do the electric slide. What's good?
How you doing, Clev? Nice to hear from you.
Everything is lovely, you know what I'm saying? I'm just swooping in off the hang glide real quick, you know what I mean? Shout out to your guest tonight, you know what I mean? Big shot glasses up to the books and all of those things like that on the psyche, you know what I mean? But I just wanted to stab in real quick. I know you got to get to the end gozy time out here, but I just wanted to let people know that as far as, you know, dwelling into the childhood, you know, Club One was like diaper man out here, you feel what I'm saying? They made me the boss as a baby, you feel me? And, you know, unfortunately, you know what I mean, it was Miller time for me at the age of 6 years old, you know what I mean? I thought Miller Nips was beers for little boys in real life, you know what I'm saying? So you know, that's why I'm Clef One as one half of the Booze Brothers today, you know what I'm saying? Although those were some type of maybe traumatizing for other children, I'd say. You know what I'm saying? But what it did was it taught me a lot. So I think that I might need to write a book about that, you know what I mean? So this influential show like this got Clef One ready to write a book about his diaper man experiences as Clef, little Clef One, you know what I'm saying, becoming a B-boy, MC, breakdancer, and all types of fresh spray painting graffito artists that we do out here, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to your guests, you know what I mean? I just wanted to swoop in with that. I'm Clever One half of the Booze Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your badass kids almost burnt the house down off the stove Rettenbacher. Check your satellites.
Thanks for calling in, Clev. Now we move to Ningozy time.
Tonight by Mo Garman, and of course, getting ready for the 5th of December, our honors at O&E, where we get a chance to be able to honor all of the greats this year. So proud of it since 2018. And of course, we're off tomorrow night. So of course, we go right back in our rotation. Dr. Chinchilla J, the Honorable, News Forum, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on the one and only Daily Nation. And of course, WBNN has advertised to Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X. All of the other millennial Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments or suggestions for our wonderful program tonight? Ole Day Later, Ngozi with Maya, gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, all of the Malay with Ngozi saying good night and good luck. So all the folks out there on for us, ready to support us from the concert day. And now back to class of 2022, the wonderful and outstanding Mo Garman.
thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in tonight, especially to my guest, Dr. Don St. John. I hope to have you back on here, Doctor. And you just keep living your life. I've learned a lot from you tonight. I've learned that life is about relationships. And on that note, I'd like to say good night.